Anna Hazare says that he's invited yoga guru Baba Ramdev to join his fast. In June, Baba Ramdev led a protest in New Delhi against corruption. Police evicted the protesters and they sent the guru back to his ashram in Haridwar. Ramdev is one of many Indian gurus who are trying to connect Indian spirituality to the stress and challenge of contemporary Indian life. The World's Alex Galifand reports.
We are the tiny drops in your shimmering sea. We are the millions of locks to which you are the key.
At a pristine ashram outside the city of Bangalore, school children pay their respects to one of India's most visible gurus. His name is Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, and he displays all the hallmarks of the Indian guru. He's childlike, he giggles, there's flowing hair and simple robes. Now don't confuse Sri Sri Ravi Shankar with Ravi Shankar the sitar player. This one leads an international non-profit organization called The Art of Living. It aims to create a world free from violence by eliminating stress. But the guru says he's also obliged to speak out on Indian politics, for instance, corruption.
Spiritual leaders cannot sit back and say, this is not my area. They have to take action. They have the role of reformers, not rulers. But they will have to have a say.
They already do have a say. When Baba Ramdev arrived for his anti-corruption fast in Delhi, Indian government ministers took the time to meet him at the airport. That's a lot of political bowing and scraping for someone unelected, and it provoked a degree of soul-searching in the Indian media.
If I can come to you, a lot of people are saying that Baba Ramdev is essentially a politician. He's not a yoga guru. These are complicated issues. Is it for him to be deciding these issues?
The consensus is that spiritual leaders like Baba Ramdev and Sri Sri Ravi Shankar have managed to do what India's political leaders have so far not, and that's capture the hearts and minds of many in India's growing middle class. Tens of millions watch Ramdev as he expounds on everything from yoga for back pain to yoga for constipation.
I think India's unique contribution to world civilization is precisely what we call in Sanskrit the notion of a guru-shishya parampara, the relationship between a master and his disciple.
This is Ramnath Narayan Swami, a professor of management at a Bangalore business college. He teaches a course called Spirituality for Global Managers. And he says that master-disciple relationship still resonates throughout Indian society, from the office to the school to the ashram. Pair a genuine teacher with a committed student, and knowledge will flow. Narayan Swami met his own guru on July 28, 2007.
It was an enormous outpouring of love.
The guru is a man named Murali Krishna. This is music from his website. Ramnath Narayan Swami says he has spiritual powers beyond rational understanding.
As soon as I approached him, he seemed to know everything about me. In about 3 minutes, he told me my whole life. He knew everything. If there's a scratch on your body, he'd know about it. And he's never wrong.
But millions of Indians, especially young Indians, aren't so comfortable with that degree of belief. Young professionals like Nandini Rao are members of the secular global community. She's a brand manager for an IT company in Bangalore. But she's also Indian.
At one level, we feel very educated. All of us are traveling across the globe. But at the same time, there is a conflict always saying, okay, how much of connection should I have to my Indian roots?
The problem is that as India's middle class has grown, its Indian roots have become harder to grasp. In a city like Bangalore, people don't know their neighbors anymore. They're unhappy with their careers or their appearance. They're money conscious and time poor. So what do you do? Well, therapy's out, says Sumit Acharya, another IT worker. This is India, after all.
If somebody wants to go and talk to psychologists, probably it will be considered as a negative in the society. But if somebody goes and talks to the meets the gurus and something, he will be considered as a very positive step forward.
So, you've got a growing Indian middle class that's feeling cut off from its roots, and you've got this cultural ideal of the master-disciple relationship. Put the two together, and you get some pretty fertile soil for an enterprising guru.
Where is the manufacturing unit for all the human misery that's happening on this planet? Where is it? It's in your mind, isn't it?
A bearded sage by the name of Sadhguru appears on giant billboards throughout Bangalore. He's developed a philosophy designed to appeal to tech-savvy Indians. It's called inner engineering.
Engineering fundamentally means to create situations the way we want it, isn't it? But our inner situations are not the way we want it. What's the point now?
Sadhguru is kind of a life coach as much as anything else. He sells DVDs and self-help books alongside his inner engineering course. The profits, his foundation says, help fund charitable projects in rural India. But even if the motives of Sadhguru and others are humanitarian, the sheer scale of their operations makes others uneasy. Ramachandra Guha is a well-known Indian author and columnist.
Historically and traditionally, spirituality has been associated with solitude, with a retreat from the world. It's rather difficult for someone like me to think of such a guru who's interested in brand strategy and brand marketing and, you know, expanding his empire, but that's how many Indian gurus are today.
Some say many of today's gurus are something else, corrupt. Satya Sai Baba, who died earlier this year, was one of India's most powerful and revered spiritual leaders.
The other big story, a veritable treasure trove has been discovered in a room in Satya Sai Baba's ashram in Puttaparthi. 11.5 crores in cash, 98 kilograms of gold and 300 kilos of silver have been found. The spiritual and religious guru of millions died on...
Satya Sai Baba built schools and hospitals. He transformed his own village into a thriving city. But over the years, he was also publicly accused of money laundering, fraud, and sexual abuse, charges he always denied. For Ranji David, an IT training manager, he was just one of many gurus who didn't live up to their billing.
What makes it frustrating for the urban youth is that every time these Babajis come, it's good work and, you know, packaged really well, but somewhere down the line, they get exposed.
So how can Indians today tell the difference between the fraud and the teacher worth following? It's an important question, not just for India's spiritual life, but for its political future too. One straightforward answer came from, as it happened, another guru, a clean-shaven man named Eswaran. He lives with his wife in a small apartment near the center of Bangalore.
When it comes to the teachings of the master, you go extremely critical. You've got to be doubting, questioning.
In other words, don't forget to use your brain.
God has given intellect to human being, right? For what? To think.
Good advice in any age. For The World, I'm Alex Galifant, India.